Absolutely. So if you know what the truth is, even some of these great details like this, which may be blowing your mind now, you may not understand it for 3 or 4 years when it finally clicks, as you've seen, mm-hmm. and as you have, Ray. All of a sudden, somebody's question. I remember Christine's question when you were listening to it, and you weren't even in class, I don't think. She answered a question, and he got it. He got it.
Yeah, looking on the internet.
Yeah. He got it. So sometimes, and I'm open to your questions. That's something that's very important. We're going to talk about rewards today. Rewards is another great, fantastically controversial subject.
Yeah, me and Sharon had a few talks on that.
Rewards. Rewards. Right. That's what we're talking about, rewards. Let's go to page 150. Last week we went from last week we went from 46 to 50, 146 to 50. And at the top of the page it says, why suffer for doctrinal truths if reward for all the saved is equal? Now that's something the world doesn't understand. But as you read the Word of God, you're going to find out there's people up here, and people down here in heaven. There are different levels of fellowship in heaven with God. Now, it says here, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. This is 2 Timothy 2:12. And if we deny Him, He will also deny us. 2 Timothy 2:12. Who's the us? Who's us there, Brother Ray?
We've been in his church.
Churches. That's right. So some people in churches, the Lord is going to deny. Think about that, Chris. The Lord is going to deny some people that are members of churches. We shall reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Deny us what? What is He going to deny us?
Future rewards.
Rewards.
And see, that always confused me because I knew it wasn't true, but it was something in my head that would say, does that mean He's going to deny us like that He knows us and that we're not going to get into heaven? But what you're saying is...
Now, there's your problem with people that are Armenian.
Right.
We're going to get into that. There's different levels of Arminianism, but we've got Calvinism, we've got Arminianism, and they take these verses right here out of context and think it's talking about salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation.
So these verses have to do with rewards.
Rewards, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could go in, I could teach for 2 weeks on rewards. Brother Hoyt Chastain came down to CMBI, and he talked on rewards for a week. A week. Now, this is, I think, before your time, Brother Ray. But he went down there. Some of those sermons are on the website. Mm-hmm. At least one of them, if not two of his sermons that he did on rewards, is there. I've never heard preachers preach too much on rewards. I remember... Larry Clements came to New Hope one time, and I was going to preach on election. And he said, what? He said, I've never heard anybody preach on election. But is it important? Mm-hmm. It's very important. If you don't preach on if you don't preach on these very important biblical doctrines, what's going to happen? Error can come in to churches. If we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. What? Rewards. Membership maybe in the bride. I know that I am saved. I know what God's New Testament churches are. I've tried to preach the truth all of my life. Have you ever heard me preach lies, Brother Ray? In 3,000 or 4,000 sermons you've listened to, you ever heard me preach?
Well, 35 years later, I hear the same thing. So you haven't changed your position on a lot of things.
I have not changed. Some things I have changed because I've learned.
Right, right.
I have learned a lot in that I didn't quit learning. That was it. I want Brother Farias to tell us. Marilyn, can you get me a bottle of water? Brother Farrar used to tell us that all you're going to get here in the seminary is 5 to 10 years, and if you get a doctorate, you've only got a license to learn. Mm-hmm. So many people, when they finish college, they never crack a book again. Mm-hmm. When the seminary students finish seminary, they never look at Greek and never look Hebrew again because they don't have to anymore, period. But what did I do? I went on in that on and on and on and on. Wore my hands out writing. Not that I'm something special, but it was a desire that I guess God put in me. It's all because it was a need. Do you think it's necessary to teach Greek and Hebrew today? Most of the world doesn't think so. But I keep on doing it because I think it's necessary. I think we need to know what's there. It would be easier on us to adopt the popular theory that we are all working for the same place. We know that there's not 10 different modes of salvation, are there? The lid wasn't on it.
Well, I loosened it.
I don't want to have to start that over again.
Wipe it on your pants.
Hey, Brother Jim.
All right.
On this, we just read 2 Timothy 1 and 12. But in verse 13, by he saying that if you deny me, I wouldn't deny myself.
Yes.
Okay, the law in the Testament churches, when he said all authority has been given unto me, okay, it's still his. Is that what you call an unconditional covenant he made to himself in regards to his church, that he will always... That it was then depending upon us to keep the Lord and the Testament churches going.
Yes.
But he made a covenant with himself when he says right here, if we become faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Okay. Matthew 16:18, it goes right back to that.
Right, exactly.
You are Peter, but upon this gigantic rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The churches that we are members of sometimes have become non-churches. The old term is they've lost their candlestick. Yes, they can do that. Individual churches can, but the church as an institution altogether, there's going to be some place. There are true New Testament churches in the world, and we live in the Laodicean church age, and the churches are flops today because the word of God says they would be flops today, wouldn't it? Is that true or not? We are lukewarm. We do things as we think we ought to do them instead of as God thinks that we ought to do them. We've made new rules and new regulations for what is right and wrong. In the time of the judges, everybody did that which is right in his own eyes, and that's what God's churches are doing today so many times. Why heed the administration of Jude if it makes no difference what we believe or what we do? Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once in the law delivered to the saints, Jude 3. When I was in Fish Lake Valley, Brother Ray, I preached 6 messages on that verse.
Really?
We went into the doctrines of the Bible. The doctrine of salvation, I had a lot of problems with that. A lot of Arminianism was there. A lot of problems with this salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. Salvation is by grace, but what you do for God is something else. It says God, it says it is a debt that I owe you. Now, salvation isn't by works. But what is by works? Rewards. a lot of preachers forget the rewards. But how many times have you ever heard that preached from the pulpits?
Not very often.
Not very often, if at all. Period. They don't want to confuse people. The faith is a system of doctrine, something believed and connected, contended for. It places one at odds with those who seek to destroy it. Millions of Baptists have lost their heads, literally, for contending for the faith as laid down in God's words. And we know that between 50 and 100 million Baptists from this period of time right here all the way over to this day. To this day, I have some of my students. Matter of fact, I did. Marilyn remembers this. Brother Roger, you probably remember this. Remember when I was preaching a couple of 3 years ago, when I would honor one or two martyrs every day that had come from Valley, that had died, and every one of them, every last one of them was killed by Islamic groups. It didn't have to be in the Middle East, it's Philippines. They're killing them down in the Philippines to this day. I have some of my students that are under a death warrant because of what they believe and practice down in that country. They need your prayers. They are still dying for the faith. We are here fooling around with the faith,
right,
mingling it with the world.
Right.
Every time in history that persecution came, Baptists got a little more serious with what they believed. They did. Their deaths were useless, and they were foolish if all are to be in the bride at the last and receive the same reward. I won't even go further to say that. This is talking about relationship as the bride. Okay? But there are people in the world that say we're all trying to get to the same place. And there's more than one road to heaven. Is there more than one road to heaven?
No.
You must believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is Jehovah of the Old Testament. You have to realize that God sent down His Son to live and become human, and the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, and that He did actually was born of a virgin. It didn't have to be a virgin. I want you to understand that. She didn't have to be a virgin, but to stop all contention and guesswork, she was.
Amen.
Any woman could have a child by God if God so believed. Now, we know that many women have had children of angels in the past. I want to repeat that. Many women have been pregnated by angels. These are fallen angels. From Genesis, the 6th chapter, all the way into the time of David with Goliath and all of that. These are all Nephilim. The Bible identifies them as Nephilim. Many people, I heard a preacher on the radio the other day trying to skirt around what Genesis 6 was. You know what he said? He said that Adam and Eve had a lot of children before they sinned. And these were the sons of God. They were all boys. You never heard that one. It's the first time I ever heard it, too. This was heresy, by the way. I didn't say that. I don't believe that. That Adam and Eve had many children, maybe 500, 600 children, before they sinned, and that these were all the sons of God, because they wanted to skirt around the issue of Genesis. No. No, they didn't have children, because those children would have been immortal, wouldn't they? And every one of them would have to go through what they went through. Didn't happen, people. That didn't happen. There's only one way of salvation, that Jesus Christ came into this world, that He died on the cross of Calvary, that He was raised. Dying on the cross of Calvary wasn't enough. I've talked to people and said, I believe he died on the cross of Calvary, but he didn't raise. He stayed there. He stayed dead. He stayed in that grave. They won't have salvation. The Buddhists aren't going to get to heaven. As wonderful as they are, as they say they are, you know, the Dalai Lama and all of this business. These people aren't going to heaven. No Muslim will go to heaven unless he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not going to happen. No Catholic can go to heaven unless they repent of their sins and ask Jesus to save their soul, not Mary, not some priest. It's got to be through Christ. No Jehovah's Witness is going to go to heaven if they don't believe Christ Jesus is the Word, the eternal God of the Testament, of the Old Testament. I don't care how hard they try to get to heaven. I don't care what they do. I don't care what how wonderful Mormons are. And there's some good Mormon people. They're not going to make it to heaven without believing Jesus Christ is their only way, and they're not a God. This is only one way of salvation. And there's only one way to serve God, and that's in one of His New Testament churches. You can wander around out there and do something. You might do some things, but if you want to be in that bride, you better get serious with the Lord. Why deprive ourselves of anything? And why make any special effort at serving God if the negligent and the unfaithful are rewarded on equally with the faithful? Why do anything? We're not talking about salvation. I want you to understand that. So many people, I have had people just total paranoid about their salvation. Over years have tortured themselves wondering whether they're saved or not. Yep. They're applying all of these scriptures that we just read here, like in 2 Timothy 2:12, to salvation. It's not talking about salvation. Right. It's talking about rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 19:29, they can't separate it. Why do true Baptists, the only ones that know that they're really saved? Because they have the Shekinah glory of God that came upon that church on the day of Pentecost is still in there. It's still with them. And we can have every form of the shades of security of the believer we can have in this world too. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there that have done this in the name of false religion, and they won't get anything, neither will they get to heaven. Isn't that pitiful?
Mm-hmm. The rich young ruler did it all.
What?
The rich young ruler did it all.
Yeah. Number page 151. How could one have a better resurrection if all are raised in to receive equally? Boy, this is something. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter. Let's look at this for just a moment. I can never find it. Hebrews 11th chapter. That's the hall of fame of the faithful, isn't it? Hebrews 11. Let's get down here. Verse number 33. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises and shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies at flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and of others who were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. a better resurrection. A better resurrection? What is the better resurrection? What is the worst resurrection?
Resurrecting into damnation, into hell.
There's the worst resurrection right there. That's it right there, the great white throne judgment. That's the worst resurrection. Are all the lost going to be resurrected? Will all the lost be resurrected equally?
No.
In eternity? No. Will there be places in hell that are more tolerable than other places in hell?
Yeah.
Maybe some Mormons will be there in these places where they've tried to do good and everything else, but they denied Jesus Christ. No one is ever sent to hell because of sin. They're sent to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's it. We talked about supralapsarianism yesterday. Supra means before. Supralapsarian. Lapsarian means before the fall. Before the fall of man, God decreed to create the elect and the reprobate before anything. Okay? How could God create reprobate and have different places in hell for them? You ever thought about that? How could God create a reprobate people, ones that would deny the faith and never believe? He created them that way before sin it was ever even devised to come into the world. This is what we call superlapsarianism. Before he ever set an edict that sin would come in the world and all man would sin, that he created the reprobate and the saved, the elect. How could they be measured in heaven? How could they be in the bride or not in the bride? If you're created that way. What kind of salvation is that? What kind of love is that? What kind of love? What kind of salvation is it? Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, and they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Now what's wrong about going around in sheepskins and goatskins, Brother Roger, you know?
It's uncomfortable.
Brother Ray, can you give us a little more history of that, going around in sheepskins and goatskins? You want me to tell you what happened?
Didn't they sow them into that and then put them out in the wilderness?
There you go. They killed a fresh sheep and they killed a fresh goat. They would turn the skin inside out and sew the hair to the people and then turn them loose among wild animals to be ravaged. They would sew those. They couldn't get them off of them either. They couldn't protect themselves. They would sew them to their bodies and then turn them loose out there to wander until they were devoured. Yes, you had that right. Well, when it dried, it crushed them also if something didn't eat them up because they shrank. They would be suffocated by them. That's what it's talking about. Men of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Did Jacob ever get what God promised him? Did Abraham ever get what God promised him? Did Isaac ever get what God promised him? These people lived with a promise. They lived and they believed in this promise. And I might say this, as much as I don't have very much respect for Jewish people today, even though God loves them, He will love some of them. Let's put it that way. Some of them are going to die without Christ. But the tribulation period is for them, and to bring them back to God, 2 out of every 3 is going to be killed then. And then the last bunch is going to be saved because they will believe. They will believe.
And that's the 144,000.
That's 144,000. Well, there may be more than that. There's 144,000 that are sealed out of the 12 tribes. Because God has provided something better for us so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let's go on. This is good stuff, but it is difficult stuff to understand. Let's go on.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You know, before they come to this age of accountability to children and they die, they are in that reward problem. They must be in a certain special place.
There are different levels in heaven.
Even little children?
Yes.
Yeah,
I really believe this, and I taught, I think you heard me preach on the security of children, little children, one time. I preached several sermons on this in my past. How that God, if a child dies before he comes to the age of accountability, or if he's born with a mentally defection where he cannot ever come to the age of accountability, that the blood of Jesus Christ covers them.
Right.
And then especially those that believe. You're covered by that. They will have a place. I don't know what place, but we know that God is totally just. And God will give them. Some of these little kids are wonderful little children. Have you ever seen those children sometimes? They're just like a little angel, and some of them are just like little devils. They're mean. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Who are those who walk in the light of the city, and where did they come from, if all are saved in the bride? If all the saved are in the bride, who are the people that are walking in the light of the city there? Won't make sense, does it? Who are those? Who are those servants? Who are those ministering to the bride? And are they happy?
Mm-hmm.
They're happy. They're happy to be there. Mm-hmm. They didn't serve the Lord here, but they will there.
Right.
And they'll be happy to do it there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between people that are saved. I mean, a lot of people can say they're saved and join God's churches and they're lost as they can be. And they never produce one inkling of any fruit of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saved? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Did they go down and go and they walked forward? The lady that called me on the telephone from Texas, she had been in church all of her life and she'd heard the preaching gospel and she was under deep conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that she was lost and going to hell. And she thought she was damned because she thought she was gospel hardened. And I told her, I said, have you ever asked the Lord to save your soul and repented of your sins in any particular time in your life? She said, no, but my pastor says I'm okay, and so does my wife, my husband, because I'm a good person. She said, I feel terrible. I feel terrible. Well, she felt terrible because the Spirit of God was convicting her, and I have talked to many Mormons. And the Mormons' doctrines tell them that if somebody talks to you with religious doctrines and starts to confuse you and you start feeling bad, that is the devil pestering you. When it actually, it is who? The Holy Spirit wooing them. So run from them. Don't stay there. They got to figure it out all right. How to keep them. If those who care nothing for the church, who freelance on their own, are to be equally in the bride with those who have loved the church and honored Christ with their lives in the church relationship, why suffer criticism for the truth's sake? Now, I might say this. There are many missionary Baptists that what we call overemphasize the church relationship. They worship the church more than Jesus. And boy, what a mess that can be, too. That can be really a mess. They don't preach about anything else, do they? That's all. That's all you ever hear them preach about. The subject of rewards is fascinating, but only very little is told of them in the Bible. I remember when Brother Hoyt Chastain preached about it in the CMBI. People just sat there. Rewards! We're not talking about bridal relations. We're talking about rewards. Are saved people going to get rewards? Yes, they are. Even outside of God's churches? Yes, they are. Some. The bride is special, isn't it? But there are people all around the bride. Very little is told of them in the Bible. However, we have some very clear-cut statements that cause us to believe that there will be a difference in the rewards received that some outside the church have a reward for doing something for Christ. I've heard Missionary Baptist Church pastors say that nobody outside of a New Testament church will get one single solitary reward. That is not true. It's not true. They won't be in the bride. It's different. They won't be in the bride. The question arises here, shall they receive their reward here or hereafter? We hear about that. Some people get the rewards here, don't they? The first shall be last and the last shall be first.
That was kind of my take on that, you know, as far as rewards, because, you know, when you have when those men who were out there and then the disciples told the Lord, I said, there are people out there doing this and doing that in your name. God said, yeah. Leave them alone. They're not against you, they're for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've always thought, in my mind, the way I understood it, that those people that are outside witnessing, doing good things and all that, they're going to receive the majority of the rewards in this lifetime. Okay, but now you're saying that there's going to be rewards for them in eternity.
They won't be in the bride.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
they will not be in the bride.
They're not even going to be...
They're not going to be in the bride.
Okay, and that eliminates them from being guests also, right?
Yeah.
Because that's strictly for...
The guests of the wedding. Now, some of them might be guests of the wedding. Who knows? Our guests of the bride. I don't know. There are some of these things that aren't just cut. You don't cut it right on this line, and you don't cut it right on that line. The Lord will do the cutting. There are going to be guests of the wedding. I mean, this is getting into really deep stuff. I can do this on the bride. I've done the Bride of Christ also. And we talked about the guests of the wedding and everything. I think some of those guests at the wedding... They were invited by the bride. Maybe they were part of the bride that are guests at the weddings. But they weren't quite the bride. How much does it cost take to be in the bride? Everything.
Yep.
I don't know whether I'm going to be there in the bride or not. I don't know. I know I'm saved.
If you don't make it, but I don't got a shot.
Well, I mean, Paul is in the bride. John the Baptist wasn't in the bride.
Right.
What did John the Baptist give?
He got free eternal life.
He got free eternal life, but he gave his life too, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave his life.
For whosoever shall give one cup of water to the drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Mark 9:41. Those who have loved the lost and have won them to Christ will have a reward for their labors. Surely the joy of seeing one that we have personally won to Christ will be a reward in itself. Reward may take a different aspect in different cases. We may be sure that God knows how to justly reward, and that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8. But you also must labor or run lawfully. But there is one supreme award, one goal that has ever been set before God's children, especially in the church age. I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. Paul seems to suggest that there is a mark toward which we are striving. That's not talking about salvation now. These poor Armenians, I keep thinking they're trying to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. A goal that he hopes to reach. Now that goal or mark could not have been salvation, since he was already saved and believed that God was able to keep him, that which he had committed unto him. The highest prize and goal or reward that I can think of is found in the glories of the Bride of Christ. We see that. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon the ground, he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14. If he strives lawfully. Okay. Are the Jewish people striving lawfully to get into the kingdom? I remember so many years ago, I'll never forget the phrase. Dieter Bergstrasser was preaching. And he said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And he said it in these German accents. That is just wrong in my ears. Because the kingdom of God has suffered so much violence that we can't even imagine to it until you come down to all of this false religion up here that has come up. And they've wrested the kingdom of God. The most the worst wresters of the kingdom of God in violence is the Catholic Church and the Islam. John Calvin did a pretty good job, too, of killing people. He was very intolerant. He didn't tolerate anything. But they say that he lived in an age of intolerance. And some of his students apologized for him killing different people and having them put to death because of their... And some of them were Anabaptists. Let's go on a little more further. Inasmuch as the work is used in the singular in this passage and evidently includes all the works, it may be the same word for reward, mistos, which means wages, which is singular. Revelation 22:12. This does not destroy the idea presented. The highest of all rewards will be found in the city of God, the bride of Christ. Nations, and Revelation 21:24-26, suggest an eternal government with order. Eternal government with order. Now, we have to be very careful about this also. Herbert Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong said that we're going to become gods.
Right.
Joseph Smith said that every Mormon man will become a god in his order behind God the Father. We're not going to become gods.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign with Christ for how long? Forever.
Oh.
Forever. Some people believe in Baptist ranks that ruling and reigning with Christ is only 1,000 years and that everybody's going to be in the bride.
Right.
They'll be absorbed into that bride because they will be educated and they will know and they will repent and they will go and be absorbed and they will become the bride. That the bride, that 1,000-year bride, that glorious bride, the glory bride,
right,
is only for 1,000 years. I think it's eternal. They can have their opinions as they want to.
Right.
Surely there will be room enough for rewards in the realm of all the godly and the great Christians who have lived and died outside of God's churches. But to be in the bride and to live in that city and to bask in His love and be in this special prepared, intimate relationship. In John 14:1-2, Revelation 21:10-21 will be a very zenith of reward. Zenith. Look at the word zenith. What does zenith mean? Zenith. What does it mean? You're probably not old enough to know. The greatest radio on the market in the 1900s was a Zenith Oceanic. That was the top of the line. I got one of them for $3 down at the House of Bargains on Quantico Avenue. I don't know whether you remember that House of Bargains down there or not, but that House of Bargains was an auction place, and everybody was getting rid of those beautiful console Zenith Oceanics, which was a zenith,
yep,
of all radios.
It was high fidelity, right?
They were getting rid of them and putting in televisions. And they had these little televisions with 1-inch screens and 2-inch screens. They'd look at them, and they had magnifiers on the front of them. They had them down there, too. Everybody's getting, and then color televisions came out later on. Boy, that was something else, color television. But the zenith. Zenith made the best radios. That was the zenith. Will be the zenith of reward. In conclusion, a quotation just here sum up the position set forth in the foregoing. Who will be in the bride? One of the greatest points of controversy in the religious world is over the question of who composes the bride of Christ. A majority of denominations and churches, including many Baptists, hold the opinion that all the saved of all ages will. And Paul plainly states that the bride is the church as an organized institution. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In the church spoken of in the New Testament is emphatically declared to be the bride of Christ, then there is little room for doubt concerning who composes the bride, because in a preceding chapter it has been shown that the New Testament church is not universal or invisible, is it? It's always local and visible. The family of God and the church are different. The family of God is all those that are saved. I've said that. You've heard me preach that for years, haven't you? Brother Roger, I've been preaching that for years, haven't I? How long have you been coming to my classes?
5 years.
5 years. Have I ever preached anything different? Nope. Chris? Nope. One also can see that not all the religious organizations are part of the bride. All of the foregoing distinctive elements show the majority of the churches in the world are not New Testament churches. The bride is a church. But not just any organization calling itself a church. The bride is the church according to the New Testament definition. And I always said I have the 11 essential elements of the New Testament church, which came originally out of the trail of blood. How do you define a New Testament church? This therefore concluded that the bride is and will be the sum of all the New Testament churches who have maintained their distinctive identity as New Testament churches in every age from the setting up of the church until Christ comes again. There is a suggestion in Revelation 21:2 that the saved and the faithful of Israel will be honored in the new city. According to what covenants?
The Davidic
and the Abrahamic covenant. That's unconditional covenant. If Israel is not part of the final completed bride, she will be at least occupy a position similar to Naomi in the house of Boaz when Israel crucified her Messiah, when they would not accept the reins of the kingdom but the administration of God's kingdom on earth, which they could have had. When Jesus came, he called out his church. He already called it out, actually. He took that administration completely away from them when he rode into the in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he took the reins of his kingdom, and they wrested by violence. They wrested the kingdom of God, suffered violence in the hand of wicked and violent men. I'll never forget Dieter Bergstrasser saying those words. She will evidently maintain her identity in the heaven ages. Jeremiah 3:14 also offers the suggestion that Israel occupies a position close to the heart of God, and that very much like that of the church. But she will never be the bride. I want you to understand that. She is not absorbed into the bride. Ever. She has her place. And that place will be for 1,000 years. She will be a minister of God's kingdom on this earth. During this period of time, right there, for 1,000 years, the bride will exist forever with Jesus. Forever. In an intimate relationship. Will the saved be around Jesus? Absolutely. And all different orders. It's just like the stars of heaven. The order of the resurrection, some are bright and some are dim. Like stars in heaven. Some are bright and some are dim.
Now, will the bride of Christ already exist after the tribulation and during that 1,000 years?
The bride of Christ is existing right here today.
But I mean existing in her role as reigning with Christ. Or is that
she will be, the tribulation period is her wedding feast.
Okay.
A year of that feast. This is when she is appreciated by her husband.
So then
and loved by her husband for 7 years while on earth, hell is breaking loose.
Right. But
okay.
She just continues from that point on.
That is just how they get acquainted.
Right.
That's getting acquainted. Okay. That wedding week. The wedding week was when the husband and wife got acquainted. Then from then on, it went on forever. I mean, as long as they lived. And the church will not fail. The faithful who finally make up the bride, it is the writer's opinion that Israel will be honored, being, as it were, a honor guard for the bride, as indicated by the 12 gates in the city bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The church was founded upon the 12 tribes of Israel. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
How many apostles were there?
12.
There's the 12 tribes of Israel are on the gates, and the 12 apostles are there. Jesus came out of Israel, did he not? He went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Some believe, some did not. At least this avenue of exploration will do no violence in any known scriptural truth. For the sure explanation will be perhaps be forced to wait until the Lord and Teacher shows us it to us in that day. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. It is seen a new earth, which there flows pure river of water of life, where there is a tree of life and the tree alongside. Once again, we resort to a quotation from the scholar for an explanation of these verses. The way the common version of the scriptures, that means what? King James. Reads, we seem to have one tree of life standing on both sides of the river, which would be a physical impossibility as we know things. What the Greek text appears to say is that the tree of life stands between the street and the river, which of course makes sense. Apparently the street and the river run parallel with one another, and the tree simply stands between them. This eternal place is a very real and literal place with real and literal people who have real and literal occupations to occupy them in their real and literal service to God. What joy, then, for a redeemed people to be able to serve God, the God who saved them, with none of the hindrances and inhibitions known here and now. Much in the field of speculation could occupy our minds about the universe of that day in God's new creation. No doubt this facet of the eternal ages will occupy the minds of God's people, but we must wait for that day and its revelation. In the final sense, God is seen with his people in full consummation of his eternal purpose. Man in perfection, occupying the redeemed earth in perfect rulership under God. I think we might pay there the whole cosmos, because we can travel the whole way. We're not going to be held back by atmospheres and space between planets. The whole dimensions. Jesus so foresaw this day in his blessedness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then he says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Man in his inheritance from God, and God with his inheritance in man, are brought together through the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. That is, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are upon the earth, even in him, Ephesians 1 and 10. That's the end of that book.
Wow.
Do you have questions? This is a deep, deep subject, isn't it?
Yep.
So deep. So deep. I don't profess to know everything. I am a scholar. I am a Bible student. That I am. But I don't profess to know everything. But I profess this one thing in final summation of all this. The bride of Christ is made up of God's New Testament churches. True believers in those churches that have given a lot for the Lord, if not all. We know that during the tribulation period, it says here that these people that died during the first part of the tribulation and during the last part of the tribulation will rule and reign with Christ for how long? For how long?
Is it 1,000 years?
Yeah. Who are they? Are any of them in the bride? But will they rule and reign with Christ?
Yes.
As subsidiaries? Yes. And that's during that period of time. That period of time, they're going to give their lives. There is a special reward for martyrs in anything. Anybody that has ever given their life and they are a believer in Jesus Christ will be rewarded in a special way.
Beginning with Stephen.
Huh?
Cain.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That have given their lives will be rewarded in a special way. And that's outside the church. Okay? The church is the epitome, the zenith of rewards. And that has to be sought after. That relationship with God must be sought after. It must be, you must dedicate your life to be in that part. It's not salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. It is a reward. If you give your life for the Lord, scripturally and doctrinally, and serve Him. Some people live 30 years in service, don't they? Some people 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Brother Farrar, I never saw a man so dedicated to try to teach. He had an ambition to teach like I do, I guess. I want to teach. I have to teach. I'm trying to do things. This year I hope to teach 300 times in this year. 300 messages. That's almost once a day. I'm right there. I'm just below that right now. Just barely. This is like 294 or something like that. If I make that. And that's just my goal for me. And I try to make every one of these messages pertinent to something. They're not just pablum. They are messages that are God's Word. This year, I preached the whole Kingdom of God series. Never did I ever hear it before, not in its completion, but I did that. I started working on the parables of the Bible, not the New Testament, not Matthew 13 like I've done before, but the parables of the whole Bible, and I've done quite a few of those. And every bit of this I've tried to do for the glory of God. We're doing secrets from Genesis. We're doing creation versus evolution. We're doing the Gospel of Mark from Greek. We're doing 2 Corinthians from Greek. All these things. But it's reaching the whole world through that website. It's reaching the world. And I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for those people out there so that they can get excited about serving God. Excited about it. I try to instill excitement in people about God's Word. It's exciting to me. I get excited. I used to see Brother Farrar sit down there. The guy couldn't even walk, but he just sat there and just bounced in his little old chair. You remember Brother Ray? He just sat there and bounced like this, just so excited talking about God's Word. Talking about God's Word. I hope that you're excited today as we finish this one study. It's done. But it's not done.
I feel like I need to go.
It's not done. You go back and you look at all of these lessons again.
I
can't remember this 36 or 38. It's the last one.
I don't know.
There were 64 or 5 in the kingdom studies. It's a lot. And I tried to do them. I tried to get them together. I tried to tie these things together. One of the things I want to do in the future, the Lord willing, and I've done a lot of stuff at home. I've done a lot of stuff up on the creek in Nevada, and that's times where I can just turn loose and just teach these things that nobody else teaches. They just don't want to take time to do it. It's too hard work. Now I'm going to start teaching the church history again. Boy, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of work.
I went through those 26 cassettes the second time going around them again.
Yeah. I want to get them where it's on video and could get all the class in them. That's my goal. I don't know whether I'll make it or not, but that's what my goal. I want to leave this behind. Mm-hmm. I want to leave it for people. That website is not for me. It is for God's people. And it takes a lot to get it up there. It takes a lot to keep it. A lot of work. A lot of money and a lot of time. But it's for the Lord. God's churches all over the world are just eating that stuff up. And I try to take time. If I've got their phone number, if it's within reason, I try to call them and they'll look at me and say, "Oh, Dr. Jim, you took time for me." I'm accessible. I try to be accessible. And that's it. We need to give ourselves like that. I saw Brother Hubbard do that. I saw Brother Madden do that. I saw Brother Cannon pour his life out doing this. I had some real good examples. what Brother Randall once called, he said, boy, those are lofty, lofty goals. Lofty examples. Far-reaching examples. People that gave their lives for God. Now, see, these people are the ones that I think may be then that bright, see. Because they gave it all. Brother Hubbard kept nothing for himself. He didn't care about himself. No. Did he, brother?
Nothing.
He was obsessive, compulsive personality. Absolutely.
Well, he had his yogurt.
He had to quit eating yogurt.
Yeah, I remember you told me.
He had to quit eating. He had his little ways. But he did. This is what he did. But the most important thing was teaching God's word and going and preaching God's word. That was it. That was his life. Didn't have any other life. Didn't have anything else. That's the kind of life we need to live. We can't all do that. But that's the kind of life we need to live. We see these examples. These godly people. Did he have bad breaks in his life? Definitely. 2 times he had 2 failed marriages in his life. But that didn't stop him. He just kept on going. Kept on going. Kept on going. Kept on going. I hope you enjoyed God's word. Christine, you want to dismiss us in prayer in this last class?
I have to have a question.
Yes. All right. Fire away.
I know. I always have a question. Okay, so I think that I've heard this before, but I can't remember if I have or if I'm just pulling it out of my hat. So the fallen angels that procreated with women, their offspring couldn't have children, and they only had male offspring?
That's what some people say. We don't have it. That's all the records we have.
That's just speculation.
It's speculation, but not the fact that they did have children. That is the fact. The Nephilim existed. Whether they had children or not, I do not know. Now, we know that Goliath's father was a Nephilim, and he had 5 sons.
Right. Right.
So there we have at least that evidence that, yes, they can procreate.
Right.
Can they die naturally?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know whether they can die. I don't know whether they do. I think, personally, that these Bigfoot are Nephilim. And they are interdimensional. Angel is what? Paranormal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand everything I know about this business. All I can do is show what evidence we have. We have that evidence. Yes, the offspring can reproduce. Chuck Missler said they only produce males. That's what he said. All right. Now, I saw a female Bigfoot walking. And I know it's very evident it was a female Bigfoot walking. Not the one I saw, but the camera one. And that, they have analyzed that, and that is not a fake. That's for real. One deal. And so there we know that they are possibly female Bigfoots. So there would be a female Nephilim, maybe.
Right.
Okay? Maybe.
Well, and just
we don't have any. Now, we do have in South America. Could Nephilim been over here? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Amazon is?
Mm-hmm.
What's Amazon?
The giant woman.
A giant woman. Okay? What was the story about the Amazon? What does the word Amazon mean?
A warrior or something? They were like warriors?
It means no breast.
Oh.
They would cut their right breast off so they could shoot a bow better.
Mm-hmm.
These were warriors. They went out and captured men and procreated with them. They did not have any men in their tribes. They only procreated with this. And then we have some very, very... Now, they thought this was all figments of somebody, man's imagination, because he wrote a book in a record, and I have the name of that book in there in my library. I don't have it. But this was a conquistador that went down there, and he wrote this about as he went down the Amazon, and he saw these people. And these are prehistoric events. We know that many of those people that we become very primitive in the Amazon were not primitive at one time. They were very advanced, but they were killed by the Spanish and driven back, and they became wild to survive. Okay, they were great civilizations at one time. Most of the civilizations in South America are very much akin and similar to the Egyptians because they had pyramids, they had rulers, they had slavery and all this. Okay. Did that help you any at all?
Yeah.
I mean, all I can tell you is what evidence that I have studied, and I've studied a lot.
Well, and just because there's no females mentioned in the Bible of being giants,
no.
You know, it's, that doesn't mean anything because
that doesn't mean that there weren't any.
Yeah,
how many females were written mentioned in the Bible anyway?
Yeah, not very many. Not when you consider all the men that were mentioned.
There's only two books about.
I do not have a problem with that one iota.
One iota.
Some people do, but they don't. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Carol, do you have a question? Marilyn.
Well, that was one of the first questions I asked you when I went to your class so many years ago.
Yeah.
How come the women aren't mentioned?
Yeah, she had a problem with that.
That's another subject.
She's got a problem with that. Brother Roger, do you have a question? Any comments or anything before we go? Have I helped you in this study?
Well, yes and no. You've helped me because you've opened my mind, but now you've just created a lot more questions and a lot more things that I have to search out answers for. So yes and no.
All right. I have opened up another room.
Yes, but it's always a blessing.
We go down in this dark room, and as we come to the doors, we open them up. And we see dimly to begin with, and finally we turn the lights on as we study. There's a lot of stuff in the world.
I do have another question.
Yes.
You know, when these things existed, was that before the earth?
What is these things?
Huh?
What is these things?
These Amazon women.
These Amazon women existed in the 1500s, we know.
Oh, in the 1500s?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether they were Nephilim originally or not, I don't know. Some people now think that's where they have skeletons of them. They thought the guy was just writing a fictional story when he saw all this stuff, when he explained this. And all of the great cities that were along the Amazon, these people died out because of the disease that was brought here by Europeans.
Well, in the 80s, there was a TV show, and I know people, Xena, Princess Warrior, that was based on these Amazon tribe women. That,
yeah.
You know,
I don't know anything about television.
I didn't watch it, but I know that that's what that was.
I remember Brother Ray when I was preaching there at New Hope, that people would ask me about TV programs. I don't know anything about it. We didn't have a television for years.
Yeah.
Finally, when the kids went to high school, I had to get them a television. And that's when I got these movies and stuff and showed them to them, to the people, the young people in the church. All right, are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Sick 'em.
Are we ready?
Okay.
We're ready.
Now, Christine, now you can dismiss us in prayer.
Yes, I'm ready now.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you for just how you blessed us with Brother Jim and him opening our home, his home, and we just ask, Lord, that everything that you've taught us will just create a thirst and a desire in us, Lord, to seek more of you and then to apply that, Lord, to what you would want us to do with our lives to glorify you. So we ask this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.